This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, quick note before the show starts. So as you all know, we're on patreon.com/ladytolady. If you're already a Patreon supporter, you might have gotten booted in the when this last payment just ran because Patreon switched to a bank in the UK, and because it's an overseas bank, there were a couple people across the platform that have gotten like shown up as fraud alerts, basically.
Basically, it's not you, it's them.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
If something got bounced back, please sign up again. We're sorry about that. It looks like it was just happened to be right when we started. Of course.
No.
Why wouldn't it happen then?
This isn't a conspiracy against us in any way. I'm not thinking that. It's totally cool.
So yeah, if something did happen and if you ordered, you know, the $10 thing, you'll still be in your candles. So just make sure you sign up again. And we thank you so much.
Yeah. And if that did happen to you, make sure you hit us up just to like make us aware of it. Because I just want to make sure that we don't miss anybody with the candles.
Yeah. You can email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com, or you can just send a message through Patreon as well.
Yeah, that works too. All right, thanks guys. On to the episode.
I'm Barbara Gray, and if you're only interested in my comedy because you think there's some chance we're going to hook up or something, yeah, we might.
I'm Brandy Posey, and the unofficial Clueless collection at Target right now makes me feel a little bit too seen.
I'm Tess Barker, and I really thought I would have rescued a few farm animals by this point in my life.
It's true. And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies to Lady, Ladies to Lady.
Welcome to the show.
Oh my God. I feel like we've always been starting with a fart lately.
No.
It just maybe like internally. I think we are all like hearing it in our head.
We're getting fartier.
Yeah. Every day.
It's like a reset, you know?
Yeah. It's like a boop boop doo.
Yeah.
It's a trumpet.
Is anything funnier than a fart noise? Always, too.
You remember the boop boop doo, but that's the Eric Roberts story.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
It was also the sound cue in some cartoon that was around when we were kids. Maybe Doug or Rugrats had a bum-ba-da.
I mean, it's a cartoon noise for sure.
Speaking of cartoons.
OMG. Great segue.
Yes. Thank you so much. She's a production designer on BoJack Horseman and the creator of Netflix's new show, Tuca and Birdie. And she's got a new book coming out called Coyote Dog Girl, Lisa Hannah Waltz.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hi. We were looking at, she brought a copy of Coyote Dog Girl, and it's so cool because it has a map in the front.
Yes. I've always wanted to have a book with a map in it.
Oh, it's awesome.
So how did you conceive of the map? Did you see it before you figured out the story?
Oh, no, it was the last thing I did for the book. I was like, I could have a map. There's space for a map here. So then I made it.
Rules.
Was it cool to see it all laid out in front of you, like after you had written the book?
Yes, but also nerve-wracking. I'm just I hope people like this, because at one point I kind of wanted to throw it in the garbage.
Sure.
Which is normal, I think.
Any artistic endeavor.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Any real artist wants to throw everything away.
I have that meltdown for sure. Anything important that I do, I always have that meltdown of this is fucking trash.
Yeah,
this is
absolute garbage. This will be the thing where people finally realize I'm bad.
Yeah.
They're like, she's canceled, and then they'll never buy anything from me again.
It's over, and I can't believe not only that, but I've spent all this time and effort on this thing that's just awful.
Yeah.
And then I never, even though I have that freak out every time, it always feels like I'm right this time though.
Oh yeah. Because it's such a strong gut feeling, and people are always like, trust your gut. And I'm like, my gut tells me I should die.
Yeah, I'm frenemies with my gut.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You look great today. This is good work. Thanks, gut. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
For something, so this is like a graphic novel. Do you come up with, do you write the full story first? Or since you're an artist, you draw page, how
No, I thought this was just going to be a short one-off thing that I was using to procrastinate from another thing I was supposed to be working on. So yeah. I did this like short, like I made like 14 pages because I was like, I have some thoughts about horses and Westerns, and this seems like a great way to combine those things.
Yeah.
So I'll do this story and then I'll be done. But then I kind of liked the main character and I was like, there's some more stories I could tell with this person.
Awesome.
And then I just kind of slowly worked on it between other projects for a few years. And then finally it kind of seemed like a book. I feel like I have a very like erratic approach to every project where I'm like, this isn't going to go anywhere.
I think that's the best
way
to do it though, because it's so overwhelming. If you've from the beginning been like, I'm going to make a book, then it's like, well, fuck that.
It's totally paralyzing.
Yeah. You just tricked yourself into writing a book.
Yeah, I tricked myself. That's the only way
to be productive, right? Is to trick yourself, I think.
Yeah, do everything in tiny little chunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good procrastination technique too, I think, just procrastinating with other good things.
Yeah.
Then they kind of like, then you're constantly procrastinating from other things with other good things.
Yeah, I guess I do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
That's how I feel about like addictions. I'm like, you just got to get some healthy ones and throw them in there.
Yeah.
And then they'll moderate the bad ones.
Just get addicted to kale.
Yeah.
Basically. I don't think I have any healthy addictions.
Me neither.
Really? Yeah.
I'm pretty organized. That's like, I think probably mine. I'm like, I'm hyper organized.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
I need it to be.
Yeah.
I'm slowly letting the other ones die out, but I've not replaced them with any good ones.
It's fun to replace them with a good one.
I know, but I just don't really. That's just not my. You know,
it'll come.
It's your bad.
Why can't I be addicted to running like some people? Like what?
I'm this one over here.
Oh my god, I want to do that.
I know.
I can't.
It's handy.
I tried. I couldn't do it.
I think you just gotta find your running.
Yeah, you gotta find the thing you like.
But it's a thing like running.
Sleeping.
That's good though. Yeah. Sleeping is great.
I keep trying different stuff. I went to a rock climbing class or whatever.
I know a whole group of people who are addicted to rock climbing right
now. Yeah, it seems. Yeah. And I was like, cool, I wanted something I could do on my own. And like, you know, and so I was like, I went and I did the class and I really liked it. But every time you go there, you have to bring somebody to do it to belay. And I'm like, no, I wanted a thing.
You wanted a
self-sufficient
thing.
By myself.
Oh,
yeah.
So you can't just rock climb by yourself?
You can, but it's not as like, it's generally unique. You should have a partner.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of dangerous to do alone, right?
Yeah. Well, at the place, like you could do it by yourself.
You're attached to a thing, right?
You are, but usually you're attached to someone else.
Someone's like holding it.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
It's fun.
That sounds like a good date idea.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I actually did it on a date till like 2 days ago. We went to, have you guys ever heard of Glow Zone?
No.
But I'm interested.
What's Glow Zone?
Glow Zone is because we were going to go to Legoland, and then we both woke up and were like,
That's for serious kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we was like, this is a terrible idea. I don't want to drive 2 hours to a hot place.
No.
These are high level dates.
Good. I know.
Yeah.
I have no concept of like a, for some reason, with this person.
Is this like
person.
A first date or like third?
Sort of. No, not a first date. No. But I was like, what can we do? And I was like, oh, mini golf. And I look at mini golf and I found this place called Glow Zone. So it's all like glow in the dark.
Wow.
They have mini golf, a rock wall. They have a laser maze like you're stealing from a bank.
So you-
What?
Yes. The laser maze was probably my favorite part. I failed every time.
That
it's really hard
cool.
to do.
Yeah.
Anything with lasers, I'm in.
Yeah.
They
had bumper cars.
Hell yeah.
They had, it was like a cool, I was like, I definitely want to rent this out and have a big party here.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be expensive, but, and they have fucking separate party rooms. I call them dance rooms that have light up dance floors.
Are there adults there?
Yeah, I mean, there were adults with their kids and me and my date.
That's the problem. Kids kind of ruin all the fun places.
Well, it was different.
It was ruin all my hobbies.
Yeah,
it was during the day. There was not a lot of kids there at first, so we were safe from them for a minute, and then.
You know what's a fun as fuck? Speaking of the exercise class thing, have you guys ever been to one of those trampoline gyms?
No.
It is so fun, and like when I've done it, I feel like I work muscles that I didn't even know existed in my body.
Yeah.
But like it's just. Rows and rows and rows of trampolines in an open warehouse, and you can just free bounce.
Just jump all over the place.
Hey. Whoa. Dog time.
Damn it.
All the
Sorry,
dogs.
Sorry, the male's here.
How do you...
I'm a psychopath.
Oh. How do you keep from, like, getting double bounced?
You don't. But you just will be okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's... So, like, it's kind of... Shut up.
My parents had a giant trampoline when I was a kid. We got it at Costco. We were so excited that our parents agreed to this impulse purchase.
Garth, come here.
Sorry.
Uh-huh. And then I got double bounced and I twisted my ankle twice in 1 month. And then my parents just got rid of the trampoline and it was heartbreaking.
Is heartbreaking.
But we loved it so much.
To taste the trampoline and have it taken away.
I know. But we loved it so much. We would sleep on it and spend all day on it. It was so great.
Yeah. We had sleeping sleepovers on the trampoline.
We had a trampoline all through high school. We didn't get it until I was a freshman in high school. So that was my trampoline for when I would have house parties when my mom would go out of town.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'd have beers and cigarettes on the trampoline.
Yes.
You wake up out there with five other people. It was just the best.
Love it.
See, I have a memory of trying to memorize Weird Al's. What's the Amish Paradise?
Yes.
Me and my friends would bounce and try to get all the words to Amish Paradise on their trampoline in my friend Heather's backyard. And I don't know the original song. But we're just we need to nail this song and get all the words.
I love that determination when you're younger to do that. Think those goals that have absolutely no point. But you're if I don't memorize these lyrics, then. Yeah.
And now we're so pissed that kids are on iPads. Why don't you go out and live your life and learn all the words to Achy Breaky Heart like we did?
Yeah, exactly. Just bouncing up and down. Just yelling Weird Al lyrics.
Glow Zone is next to a trampoline park, so we had an all-in-one trip.
Sold.
Were you just?
Can we go to the Yard House before or after?
There's a place nearby. I got it all covered.
Do they have adult-sized strollers for everyone just to be sobbing in at the end of a day? Because that's what kids do at the end of the day at places
like
that.
There's plenty of places to throw up randomly.
Great,
perfect.
So, great.
That's probably good.
There's nothing funnier to me than the end of a day at a theme park, and it's just all the parents pushing their kids that are too happy, just sobbing on their way out of the park because they've just hit too much happiness at once. Just I had too much sugar and I rode all the rides. I can't walk anymore.
I was leaving.
That's
one
so
of
funny
my
to me.
Most embarrassing things that happened to me as a kid is I was leaving Disneyland and I went up to my dad and I was like, "Daddy," and I stuck my head into his leg and put his arm around me, and it wasn't my dad.
No.
Oh,
no.
It was
abducted. Holy shit.
Seriously.
Tess was just I'm here.
I was so tired.
Oh, no.
I did that in an arcade once when I was little. There was a man playing a game and I thought it was my brother. So I went under his arm and nestled and he was excuse me. So embarrassed.
That's amazing.
Humiliating.
By the way, we didn't say this at the beginning, but
this is
really hard. There's something going on right now.
God.
So we all know that that Leonardo DiCaprio's dad lives across the street from me, basically.
Does he look like him?
No, no. But he has long dyed black hair.
Jet black.
And jet black. He's one of those old guys who dyes his hair and he has a goatee. He's a weird, I guess he's a sci-fi writer or something. So he looks like a sci-fi writer.
Whoa. I'm just picturing the guy who directed The Room, but it's not Tommy Wiseau.
He's not Tommy Wiseau, but he has that kind of feeling, but older. Oh, well, Tommy Wiseau's old, but he's confusing.
Is he attractive? Leo Dio gets his looks from?
No, he's an old, maybe he was, but he definitely is a pretty old dude who, now, anyone who dyes their hair, guys need to stop doing that. Mark Cuban, Shark Tank, I see you. Stop dyeing your hair. But Leonardo DiCaprio's dad is having an estate sale at this very moment. Right across the street from me. So as soon as we finish our second podcast, I'm running my ass back there.
See what we can catch.
Do you think Leo will be there being like, Dad, you can't get rid of this?
I have to believe
he
has
some. My G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
My Oscars.
Just selling his Oscars.
My movie trophies, Dad.
I'm just so mad I didn't get up and take a walk this morning and see it and get in there early. So who knows what'll be left, but at least I'll get to see the inside of the house.
This is the motivation to get up early and do the walks.
Wait, do we know if Leo Dio is an only child?
It feels like.
I feel like we would know if he had a sibling.
Yeah.
We'll do a little recon while we're talking.
Did he grow up in this house?
I really don't know. I just know that
he's probably been there.
I've seen him.
Oh my God.
I saw him walking out once with a model.
Oh my, he's always with a model. Oh
yeah. And he had shades
pathological.
On.
Yeah, he's got pathological model syndrome.
He does.
But if I was Leonardo DiCaprio, I would also always be with a model. So.
But it's always someone who's 20 and she's just one of the guys, and then he's switches out for a new one every year. It's disgusting.
I will
get your shit together.
When I worked at the Borders Books and Music in West Hollywood in college, he and Giselle came in together. Mm-hmm. And it was when he was going through a puffy phase. Yeah. And they were both super duper stoned. And they got Frappuccinos and they were just walking around Borders stoned, drinking Frappuccinos and giggling and reading self-help books.
That's cute.
It was really cute.
I didn't realize he dated Giselle. That was must have been a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked them as a couple.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Only child.
Yeah. Also makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen him once and like I've seen the dad not that many times, but once in a while. It's an estate sale, so I was like, did he die? He hasn't died. I don't know what's going on if he's moving.
Yeah, so what exactly? Yeah, I always thought estate sale was like when someone died, but is it just like when you're selling a bunch of shit? Or is it just a fancy garage sale?
I think an estate sale is when you hire someone to help you with your garage sale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you hire someone to tell you what to price everything
that
and like kind of run the
sense.
Show.
It's like if you got more glass than Tupperware, it becomes an estate sale.
Right.
You know?
Oh my God.
Have I ever told you guys about the garage sale that I threw at my mom's house that no one came to?
That's worse than a party.
My mom, like I was like, Mom, we need to have a garage sale and get rid of a bunch of this old shit. So I came over to her house the night before and I didn't put much thought into it. I just got like a magic marker and I put up a bunch of shitty signs that said garage sale all over the neighborhood. Woke up at 6 a.m., hauled a bunch of like bullshit out on the driveway at 6 a.m., sat there alone for an hour. No one came.
Only an hour? What are you doing?
Yeah, what?
You gotta run it like all day.
Did you run ads and stuff or?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you can't expect the 6 a.m.
Oh.
No, you gotta like post it everywhere.
You gotta post
let them know.
So then the early birds know.
Yeah.
I'm never doing it again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's generally not worth it.
I'm on George DiCaprio's Wikipedia page.
Okay. George.
I'm at George 74. And
so he's kind of young still.
Yeah, yeah. He's an underground.
That's why I think he looks old because he's dying. Like it's not.
He could be a silver fox.
Yeah.
I just want to read this one paragraph. So he's a writer, editor, publisher, distributor, underground comic artist in the 70s.
Excuse me, what?
What?
Yeah.
Comics?
Yeah. Underground comics with an X.
What does that mean?
He was active in underground comics throughout the 1970s as a writer, editor, publisher, and distributor. He is known for such titles as Greaser Comics, Forbidden Knowledge, and Cocaine Comics.
Never heard of these.
Collaborating with artists such as Laurie Anderson, Pete Von Schally, and Rich Chidlaw. This is the paragraph I wanted to read. He was also a performance artist. Comics writer Harvey Pekar details a DiCaprio performance in Los Angeles in February 1988, where DiCaprio did a, quote, light show using brine shrimp and worms.
Oh.
I'd hit them with cold water, and they'd move around, and I'd project them on a wall magnified. It blew people's minds.
Doesn't this all just explain everything?
This is fantastic.
Your kid's going to be a movie star if this is how you live.
Absolutely.
Or absolutely not.
Yeah.
Or the other direction.
It's really
wow.
Just put some cold water on some shrimp, man.
I feel even more connected to George now because my sixth grade science project was about brine shrimp. So I feel like we're...
You should take some brine shrimp over to him and be like, hey.
We're really in simpatico here.
By the way, I feel like that description really just like read sea monkeys.
Yeah.
Because like sea monkeys try to act like they're... That's they were just describing sea monkeys.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
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 A brine shrimp is basically just a big sea monkey.
Sea monkeys are such a lesson in disappointment.
Really? Seriously.
Yeah.
They never grew up to be sexy sea creatures who fucked.
Remember how cool the pictures were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They looked like little alien creature things. And like they were like, you can train them. And you thought you were going to be able to like make a circus with these worm things.
What a classic like kid scam.
Yeah.
Man, I love these people out here who were like, oh, we're going to get them.
Yeah.
We're going to get these kids.
I know.
Playing on our natural desire for pets.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And like pet rocks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So as an artist, did you ever see the commercials that were like, like you could be an artist, draw this pirate and send it in?
Yeah.
Did you ever do it?
No.
But again, what a kid, total kid scam.
I did. I fell for that kid scam.
Yeah.
Did you do that test? How'd you do?
Actually, it was pretty good. I did the bear and it was pretty good.
Yeah, but it's what, and I feel like the Nintendo, like get your points and get a free, all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the CD club that our parents all had to yell at us about?
Oops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I sure did those, but I scammed them.
Oh, I scammed them
Columbia,
too.
Yeah, because you didn't ever have to actually pay
like
them.
That's like how we got them back. The CD club is how we got him back. We were
how did you scam?
Teens? How did you scam them?
Because I didn't ever pay. Yeah. I just did the cheap thing and then I never paid.
They would send you like 13 CDs and then you just wouldn't pay. That's how I got Ace of Base.
Oh.
That's how I got Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because you didn't, it was before like you had to give, they would just be like, hey, we'll send you an invoice for a check. So yeah. You're like, well, oh. I'm just never going to send this in.
Your parents would call and they'd be like, God damn it. Why would you send this to my kid?
Yeah. I needed that Marcy Playground CD.
And then the mom's like, sex and candy? No.
I remember bringing home the Californication CD. My mom being like, Californication? What is this album about?
Wow. I just literally realized that the word fornication was in.
Really?
I never thought about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my mom was like, I need to listen to this album first. What's happening?
That was like, someone just posted that they never realized that Mr. Belding was a pun, and I didn't either.
Me either.
Oh, whoa. Belding.
Oh.
It has to be on purpose, right?
Probably. At least maybe like subconsciously the Saved by the Bell screen.
I don't either, but it has to be real.
Yeah. Mr. Belding. It sorry, probably guys. Is.
I'm sorry. I think I just ruined it for this day.
Yeah.
No. I mean, here's the thing. That guy, so the actor that plays Mr. Belding goes to like karaoke in LA all the time. He probably like just, that's like what, how his opening line at people at the bar.
Right. Did you get?
Yeah. You know, Belding. Belding.
You know I think mean? He just says, I'm Mr. Belding. Yeah. I got to roast him once.
Did you?
Was he a good sport?
I did that weird...
Dennis
Haskins. Yeah, I did that weird... God damn it, what's that old wrestler that... Iron Sheik. I did an Iron Sheik roast at Comedy Store.
Oh, I remember that.
And like, yeah, he was one of the random celebrities there. Yeah, I got a picture of him. He was nice.
That's good.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Seems like he's wearing a lot of like flame shirts now, right?
So yeah,
like,
I think that's his general vibe.
I feel like you gotta get like a really, if you're in that situation, that's when you have to get a really weird hobby and just run with it. Because what else are you gonna do with your life?
Yeah.
He's just curious.
I would get really into sailing or just do something weird.
Sailing is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sailing's, if you have a lot money, of work. Sailing's expensive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's got that Saved by the Bell money.
Mm. I wonder how much he has. I don't know.
Might be. I could see.
You think Screech is out there sailing?
Well, Screech, didn't he like blow through his money?
That's what I'm saying. So it doesn't mean.
Do you think Dennis Haskins
I don't think that because you have money means you keep it.
I'm just saying. I hope he's doing something besides just bringing up the fact that he was Mr. Belding.
He doesn't need to bring it up. People know.
Yeah, got that Belding face.
He does have that Belding face.
Yeah. I know Screech is doing comedy.
Oh,
I know. It's a bummer.
Really?
Hate it.
Yeah, he was just doing stand-up club weekends and stuff. I think it's been a while because he's not very funny. And he also made that porno.
I remember the porno.
But he was like, it's not my dick.
Cool.
What? It's not my dick.
Yeah, he like said that it's like not his dick in the porno. He used a stunt dick.
Oh, if you're going to do a porno, do a porno. You got to use your real dick.
I'm amazed though, because does that mean he wore a fake one or he just, the close-up shots of a dick were
probably
not his dick?
Close-up shots were
him. That said, would you guys rather be the close-up dick or the body when they show your whole everything?
Wait, what? I'm confused.
If you had to have one of these shots and you're a man, would you rather be the close-up dick double guy?
So just a dick double.
What's my dick look like?
You have a good dick.
Yeah, great dick.
You have a great dick and no one ever has to know who you are, but it's a close-up of your dick.
Sure, okay. I can use my dick.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the better job.
I think it's a better job.
Yeah, because it's actually totally anonymous.
You get anonymity forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's probably really good money, too.
Yeah, it's like ghostwriting, except your dick.
I knew somebody who's Nick Nolte's butt double. Nick Nolte's butt double was one of my theater teachers in high school.
Did we?
What?
The most Los Angeles shit I've ever heard in my life. At what point did you learn that?
Pretty early on, he was pretty...
Did he just walk in with his ass first and was like, recognize this?
Wait, do people expect Nick Nolte to have a nice butt?
I remember him being assless, or I remember his ass in something.
I'm trying to remember.
Isn't it in whatever?
Body Heat?
I don't know. That's what should be appropriate.
Yeah.
We're going to double check. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Lisa Hanawalt.
Hi.
And we're going to play a little game with you, Lisa. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why. And this is the theme song.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, why?
These These are very serious questions, so mm-hmm. please answer them correctly.
Okay.
Lisa, who's a good boy?
You really thought about it.
Your face was just like, I don't know.
Who's a good boy?
Yeah, who's a good boy?
And I can, okay. I was just, my first thought was Buddy, the dog who's next to
that's,
me.
Yeah. He's like, that's definitely a good answer.
Is that
answer.
What everyone says? He's such a good
no,
boy.
No,
we changed the question.
They're different every week.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's definitely a good boy.
It can be, it can
Buddy
be
is a good boy.
He's a really good boy.
Buddy's so stoked to be shouted out right now on the pod.
My dog actually loves, Buddy loves being on podcasts. He knows the word, my fiance podcast too. And if I say Buddy podcast, then he'll run out to the garage and sit on his chair out there.
My dog loves podcasts too.
He does? Aww.
Yeah, she like sleeps on my feet while I'm recording and stuff. It's sweet.
It makes good sense because they're like into your voices and shit,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's like kind of
yeah.
soothing. It's like their ASMR.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, Lisa, you're a slime person, aren't you?
I do love slime. I actually have like a little
wow.
thing
you
of
do?
Slime in my purse.
I
yeah.
forgot. I remember talking about that because I was like, let's have a slime party.
I have like
ooh,
one
this
of those.
Is like a professional one.
I mean, it's kind of, it's not as good as the teen made slime,
right.
but you know, I do what I can.
It
this is like
funny.
An adult made slime.
Yeah, because yeah. they're trying cool. to market it now because it is such like a big deal, but they can't like do it the same as the teenagers.
So okay, what's going on? Update us with what's going on in the slime world.
It's the same shit. So the girl I follow, do you
same
follow
old shit.
Do you follow glitter slimes? She's the main girl
no,
I follow.
There's so many of
there's
them.
There's a ton.
Like I started following one called like Sandify, which is like a sand one.
Right.
And, like,
oh,
that's good.
Yeah.
I follow a bunch.
Yeah. So the girl I follow at least is she has over 2 million followers now. She's 22. She makes shitloads of money on this every month. And she's like a it's like her, she's a small business owner. So she's a very legit human being who like comes up with new design, new smells all the time. And
I
like,
love the way they name them. It's like, this one's like the mint chocolate chip crunch. And I'm
right.
like, what the fuck does that mean?
Doesn't
I love
it make
this.
You want to eat it though?
Yeah.
It smells
yeah.
like something you'd want to eat. You're, yeah. If
that's
it's like
not
a,
tempting.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like anything. You're like, I'm not going to eat this.
I'm still like the kid that eats the paste. I'm like, but how do you have it? And
I mean,
not
it literally
it?
Is paste. Like it's
it.
Made out of glue.
What kind of slime are we working with here, Lisa?
Yeah, what is this
got?
Professional
like,
stuff?
Okay, this is not very good because it's like kind of stiff, but.
Oh, it looks like Silly Putty kind of.
This is just, I don't know. It's just something to do.
Yeah.
I like Silly
it's like
Putty.
Handhold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think if I like Silly Putty, I should start getting into slime?
Hell yeah. Definitely.
You'd like it. It's
okay.
fun. But have you bought it from the other ones?
I haven't bought one from a teen yet because I just couldn't decide. There were like so many options on Etsy and stuff. But
yeah.
I think it's only a matter of time. when I started working on my show, it was like my first time in a writer's room and I was like kind of nervous because I was leading this room. And so I brought some slime and I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to think I'm weird because I play with slime while I'm doing this. And then the next day, everyone brought in their own slime.
Yes!
Like, that's a phenomenon.
They like walked to a store on their lunch break and bought slime.
I love it.
That's
amazing.
Sweet. It was so great. And then
that's
we had like
great.
Coloring books and it was like, it looked like a daycare center. It was great.
It's so really funny.
It sounds so nice.
Because it is kind of a like embarrassing thing to like or something because it's a teenager thing. I
yeah.
don't know.
And it's like, why do I need this to like, I don't know, make life feel better? But I love it.
But it
yeah.
is something
it's
good
tactile.
To do with your hands because I feel like it is like, honestly, like idle hands is the devil's play. It's like if you give your hands something to do, I feel like you do get like distracted less easily.
That's why I started drawing in the first place is because I was sitting in elementary school and I was going fucking bananas. And
yeah.
so I started doodling to like help myself
right.
listen.
So
and
cool.
then I got yelled at for it a lot, but whatever. I didn't stop.
Yeah. and look at you now.
Yeah.
Fuck you, teacher.
Yeah. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
Well, it's probably also like we spend so much time like in our brains just thinking of abstract stuff. So to have something like tactile in your world right here probably
yeah.
just like is grounding.
It's
too.
Very grounding.
You know what else
yeah.
I like to do when I'm writing is play with Legos.
Yes.
Legos yeah. is a good break too.
Yeah. I need to get some. I love Legos.
Mm-hmm. God, my nieces have reinvigorated my love for Legos.
Yes.
I'm like, this is fun. And it is like kind of mentally challenging, like finding the different pieces that are supposed to go places.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's a fun puzzle.
Yeah. It is.
I remember being in college and like, I went to Drexel in Philly and there's a lot of engineers there. And like, I had a bunch of engineer guy friends that all brought their Legos in from home together one semester. And they each had giant tubs of them because like,
that's a bit much.
Well, but they're like builders, like they're engineers.
Yeah, yeah.
So like they would build these. Like,
I'm like, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. They would build these like elaborate, crazy things like in the common area. And they'd be like, and they would like make things work. They like,
whoa,
it was
so cool.
It was really cool.
That's
and I was just
cool.
like, oh man, like, I guess I see why you guys do what you do. Oh. Yeah, they're like building buildings and bridges.
That's what
and
my
stuff.
Parents, it's I was cute. Really obsessed with Legos as a kid. And my parents were like, you should be an architect. I'm like, this is just fun for me.
Exactly. We had those. Do you guys have Pipeworks? Did you ever see
Pipeworks? I remember them. I didn't
the
ones, them.
They were like the metal sticks with the round circles.
No, that's. That's something else.
That was like the tech ones or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pipeworks were like life-size ones. There were pipes that were like this long and stuff that were just like Kinects, but they were like big size. So you could
that
build.
That would have been tight.
That sounds crazy rad. Expensive. Even Legos are expensive.
They were expensive.
I don't know. They were cool. You could make like little cars that you could drive around in and stuff.
Really? Oh, yeah. I remember
those. There
was
a lemonade stand that you could build out of them.
Wow.
Yeah. We were.
I don't respect a child who doesn't make their own lemonade stand, but.
We built it.
Actually, instead of a lemonade stand, you know what I sold? Slime.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that.
OG slime kid.
I was like way early on the slime thing. Yeah.
Original 90s slime.
We just got bored with selling lemonade and like, because I loved selling shit during the summer. So me and my best friend, but like we were ahead of our game and people didn't really understand us. And like,
they're like, what do we do with this?
Yeah. We had signs that said slime for sale and no one would stop.
Wow.
And we just had lots of
how did you? So you're successful in this, but not the yard sale.
Yeah, I was much better at front yard transactions as a child.
All right. Oh, sorry.
How do people like review? Are there slime reviewers yet? Is there like?
Yeah, there's reviews on Etsy and stuff, right?
Okay.
And there's also like there's people who have accounts on Instagram, and then they'll have like Instagram stories of them reviewing slime that other people have sent them. So, I feel like they're very generous with their reviews.
Okay, I wasn't.
Yeah,
because
you're getting
like,
free shit.
Yeah. They're like, this one smells good. It's sticky.
The hand feel on the slime is not quite. Yeah,
it's and watching. It's great because they just put they always have like really nice painted nails. And they're just digging it into the.
Oh, that is
like,
nice.
I love it.
It's It's really interesting. They do it a certain way, and then someone can do it in like an annoying way that you're like, don't, you're doing it wrong.
I'm kind of glad that I'm not a slime teen because I could feel how it would be like competitive, I think.
Really funny world because it is teenagers. So, like, the girl I follow will post stuff sometimes in her story that's like, hey, I don't want any drama, but like stuff like that.
Can you just imagine being that age and someone like ripping off your slime or you ripped off someone else?
Yeah, because people get mad because they're like, you stole that idea from someone else and blah, 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 all this stuff. It's really funny. And then like, her boyfriend helps her run the slime shop and then they broke up for a second and everybody was like, where's Jeff? Because you would never see Jeff's face, but he has like arm tattoos, so you would see him doing
she's
the slime.
She's in high school and she was dating a guy with arm tattoos.
Well, no, she's 22, like barely out of high school. But just like I know how
Where's
old she is,
Jeff?
Which is great. Yeah, but people were like, "Yeah, what happened to Jeff? Where is he?" And like, I guess he got He got in trouble because some people found old problematic tweets of his.
Jeff, the slime boyfriend, gets taken down.
It's been a whole thing.
Oh, no.
My God.
So anyway, look for my third podcast about the slime teen drama.
I love just following teen drama on Instagram. Like, I follow a lot of horse teens, too.
Oh, my God. The horse teens must be.
What are the horse teens getting dramatic about?
They fight a lot about English riding versus Western riding.
I could see that.
And, like, whether or not you need to wear a helmet. Like, they fight about, like, safety and about, like,
that
horse
sounds
care.
Like horse girls, yeah.
They love to teens. Accuse each other of like riding their horses wrong or treating the horses wrong. It's like, it's really nasty.
I grew up next to a horse farm too. And
I
feel like a lot of, in my experience, a lot of the horse girls also like were horse girls because they hated other people.
Mm-hmm.
So
and they were rich.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not get along with other horse girls.
Mm-mm.
I had some horse girlfriends who just like loved the animals.
Yeah.
And just really was,
sure,
it really was about the horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember all the horse girls were like, they were very rich and they just like did not talk to each other. They just wanted to talk to their animal and they just would just like be completely separate of each other. I'd be like, you guys should be friends. Why aren't you all friends? This is the thing.
It's nice to ride now in my 30s and those horse girls have chilled out a lot. So now we can like,
Where do you ride?
They're horse women.
I ride in Burbank.
By Griffith Park?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sean and I went there for Valentine's Day a couple years and took horses up to, I was like, that was the most fun thing we've ever done.
It's nice.
Do you ride up in the park and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's crazy though, because you have to ride through these tunnels under the freeway.
I run through those tunnels.
And like over a bridge over the LA River. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Do the horses get spooked ever?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Because
the
horses.
Because I run that same path and I love, it's very invigorating to be running next to a horse.
Oh, yeah.
So I love running next to the horses. But then
sometimes I go and Adam will come with me and he'll jog next to the horse while I'm riding it. It's super fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
So fun.
It's the best.
That.
But then I do worry, I'm like, if this horse gets scared at all, I'm like right here.
Yeah.
At least you're not on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have like certain ones that you go to, or do you have a horse?
I take lessons. So, oh, okay. Like occasionally I can do a lease ride where like I'll pay $30 and I can just take out the horse for an hour, or
really?
I'll just do lessons. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, it's fun.
Do you wear a helmet?
Yes, I do. Always.
Great. Awesome.
Every time.
You hear that?
Should.
You hear that? Young horse girls
hear
wear
that,
a helmet.
Teens.
Yeah. God, we're going to go horseback riding in Griffith Park.
I'm not. I don't like doing it.
You should really? Wait a while because it's too hot and dusty right now. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
How early can you go in the morning?
Like 10, I think.
Okay, that's too late.
Yeah, I'll be starting getting hot by then.
Yeah.
Last time I did it, I was terrified.
It's
I used
scary.
To do it when I was a kid and
it's
be okay,
scary.
But I think it's so smaller and not as far away from the ground.
There are consequences now.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
something goes wrong. I yeah. get scared every time I go riding, and I ride a lot. Like, I yeah. get really scared.
I think I like, it's similar to what, I'm very bad at surfing and never have been able to master it, but it's similar to what I like about surfing, where it is just like more about calming yourself down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like getting, like surfing is kind of like, you just need to learn, like get in the vibe of the wave.
It's
same
super
thing with
similar.
The horse.
You have to like be in your body, which I'm terrible at. I've spent 30 years completely ignoring my body. Now it's like, okay, I gotta like think about what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I never rode horses. I would always just take like a bag of carrots over and just go feed them all and stuff.
Have you ever That's never ridden it. One?
I've ridden them on like a couple of like tours or something like that.
Right.
But like I never really wanted to ride them when I was a kid. Cause like my grandmother lived across the street and then moved into her house. So I would just like go over and hang out with them all the time. And they did have a, when I was very, very little, they had a retired circus lion that lived on the,
Whoa.
That lived there too.
Oh my God.
And he had a goat named Angel that hung out with him all day.
A lion and a goat?
Yeah.
He didn't eat the goat?
No, he's just old ass lion. He was like, him and Angel. And then he passed away when I was super young. And then Angel was just this like, she was this like little white goat that would just like charge the fence and stuff. Yeah. So I think he like was also just like, let's just let her do what she wants.
Oh my God. I love unlikely species friendships.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty great one. Yeah. I would just go over and hang out with them all the time.
That's phenomenal.
Oh my God. I want to hang out with a lion so bad.
A retired lion. That sounds delightful.
Yeah. He's like turning in his badge.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we answered who's a good boy, so that was good.
That's yeah, that's the important thing.
Just another one?
Let's do another one.
Oh, okay. Right. What would you do with $20 if you found it right now?
20? Only 20?
20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You find a 20 on the ground.
Yeah.
What happens?
Whoa, what would I do? What's something I've been meaning? I guess I would. Oh, this is such a boring answer. I'd buy lunch. No, that's a terrible
that's a good answer.
It's
what
okay.
kind of lunch?
Yeah. What's your $20 lunch?
Maybe I'd get. Last weekend, I got a burrito, and first I like checked my calendar to make sure I had like a day clear because I was like,
sure,
this burrito's gonna kind of like ruin my day.
Yeah.
You're like, I love making that decision, but you're like, and I'm still going to totally do it.
I'm going to clear my schedule.
Yeah, burrito clearance.
Hold my calls.
Hold on my calls. I'm going to eat this burrito. And I did. I also like, I went past this burrito place and I was like, ooh, that looks crowded. That must be good. Mm. And then I quickly checked Yelp at a stop sign and it was like, no, this is like one of the best places in Glendale.
Ooh.
And I flipped a U-turn.
Yes.
Wait, which place?
I forget
the place
name.
On Atwater?
It was on San Fernando Road, close to the train tracks.
Nice.
I was like on my way home from Home Depot and saw this burrito. That was really good. It was a great way to spend money. So
kind of burrito?
Yeah, I got like a carne asada burrito and I got a big ol' horchata. Like I went for the big one.
Love horchata.
By the time you're getting a burrito, get the big horchata.
Do it.
Yeah. Horchata.
Are you guys like a regular at any like food place?
Yes. Where? I go, my secret, I always, my by myself meal is a burrito. I go alone because I don't even want anyone there.
That's a good alone meal.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Now I go to Taco Spot up the street and I get a bean and cheese burrito and a large horchata and I just sit there and I, first while I'm waiting for the burrito, I take shots of salsa.
I sit there alone.
I usually bring a book, and it's just like my weird alone time. And I take shots of salsa while I wait for my burrito, and then my burrito comes, and I just read a book and fuck up a bean and cheese burrito.
Wow,
I'm like I've been going to this place by my house a lot, and I like I don't know why I'm embarrassed to go in there.
No, they love you probably.
I don't like being a regular places.
Yeah, I feel weird when I
go to a place and they're like, oh, I know your order. I'm like, I can never come back here ever again.
Yeah, why does that feel weird?
I don't know. It really embarrasses me.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I'm glad. And I don't know why it shouldn't at all.
Oh, I
wouldn't
I
like
love it. I love it.
I seriously just want to cross that place off a list.
Really?
I'm like, I can't. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think it's a fear of intimacy.
Okay.
Maybe that is
true.
It.
I don't know.
They're a little intense at the place I go to. Like, they're just a little, like, in your shit. So maybe that's why. Maybe if they weren't as, like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, do you also feel like maybe you might want to change your order sometimes, but then it might hurt their feelings?
No, yeah. I literally go there because I want the same thing every time.
Do you think it's also because maybe like then like a social interaction is expected of you when you just want to just eat and just be left alone?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have to be like, hey, how are you? It's like,
at the museum that I'm a member of, the cafe there. They I've been going there for years and they're always like, and I feel like it is like, I don't want to make small talk right now. I just want to get my like little snack or whatever and go, I don't know, you know what it, like it is, I know the first small talk can be.
It's funny the expectation of that once you like see somebody. This is, you know what I was thinking about? This is, I don't know if this is attached at all to what we're talking about, but okay, you guys have all been in relationships for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like the first time you met that person and you like shook their hand. It's just so funny to me to think about like for like hello and then later on you're like together.
I know. I
think Adam did like a high five.
Really?
And I was like, that's so cute. He did a high five. And I like already so had sweet. A crush on him. So
really?
I was really, yeah. That's so cute.
That's cute.
So how did you know of him?
He was in a sketch comedy group with my friend Raphael, who was one of my best friends from high school. And when I quit my like horrible day job in Glendale, I treated myself to a week-long trip in Brooklyn to stay with Raphael. And he was roommates with Adam. And I was like...
And you're like, and also you're roommates with...
Yeah,
this guy.
And I was like, maybe something will, because I just like had such a crush on him.
That's a good idea.
Way to get it, girl.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. It's like the one time that's worked out for me.
Yeah.
Is being aggressive.
But I guess it works out the time it's supposed to work out.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Other guys didn't like it. He was fine with it.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know why. I was just thinking about like, it's so funny because when you go get introduced on stage, you know, you shake hands. I'm like, why am I shaking hands with someone I've known?
You're like one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I kind of like how formal it is.
Yeah. I'll do that. If I'm hosting a show that Sean is on, I'll still shake his hand when he comes on
stage. You kind of have to.
Like, what am I going to do? Make out with him?
Yeah. There's no in between.
Slap him on the butt.
You're not going to high five. You're not going to hug. You know, hug occasionally somebody.
Maybe a hug. I'll do a hug.
But it is just a funny, shaking hands is so formal. So I was just thinking about everyone I know the first time they met their like person. Like, hello, my name is this.
My first Facebook message from Sean is, Tess, would you like to come do my show at 90 West this Monday?
Aww.
I don't remember meeting him. I wish I remembered meeting him. I don't remember meeting him.
Man, I had the ex who erased me from their life. We had a really cute Facebook exchange. I remember because it was like, you know, those kind of messages where it was like, hey, like, can you do my show? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then after we started going out, there's like a long break. And then there's something like, hey, baby, or some kind of like affectionate thing that was really cute. Anyway, that relationship never happened, but you know, that was cute.
So cute.
It was cute when I think that maybe that happened.
Brendan and I started texting because I needed to live text somebody because I was stalking Dave Coulier one night at Flappers. We've been talking in Instant Messenger and he was like, I need to know what's happening. And Messenger wasn't on your phone yet. And I was like, well, give me your, I had his number already, but I was like, all right, I'm going to start texting you. And that was the beginning of our texting.
That's cute.
Being like, Dave Coulier is fucking awful live. And then he just like walked off the stage and like out the door. And I was like, foiled again by Coulier. It's our first text together.
That's pretty good.
Let's do
one more question before we
Oh, we kind of already answered.
I know. Okay, well, we kind of talked about this earlier, but why can't we just quit Twitter?
I just tweeted something about this. The reasons I can't quit is I feel the need to promote things that I have coming out. I love gossip. Love it more than anything, and I'm so bored all the time and just want gossip, so that's a great place to get it. And then I don't know, sometimes it's fun during the Oscars.
Yeah.
Those are great top three reasons.
You're absolutely
these are all
correct
the reasons.
On all three fronts,
right?
Yeah.
No, and then I tweeted this and then a guy replied and was like, you just need to follow more humorous people. And because humor is like our humanity and it brings us together. And I was like, you're the reason I want to quit.
You
feel the need to explain humor to me. Mm-hmm.
You're like, I am the humor. Mm-hmm. You're the reason that this place is a shithole.
You're just
people don't need
guy.
Responses. I don't need your input on this.
I mean, I do want input. input from funny, smart yes. people who are self-aware enough to not do that. So yes. that's like, they're not.
But
that
most of those people are not that.
They're not there.
Yeah. Especially if you, a joke that's like obviously not a real question and they tweet at you replies. It's like,
oh my God.
So literally.
Oh my God, it drives me fucking crazy.
It's like, these are jokes. Why do you think I'm here?
Seriously.
Why would you? Sorry, it makes me so mad.
No, it's me too. I like, my eyes roll so hard and I get like pissed.
Because it's very insulting when someone thinks you're an idiot.
Yeah.
They just, I'm like, do you take everything at face value? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm a comedian. I'm making a joke.
Why do you even follow me?
Yeah.
Also, some shit can just be blowing off steam.
Yeah.
I just like want to throw it out there so it's out of my head. I had a thing a couple days ago. I had to watch 500 Days of Summer for a podcast.
Oh, God.
And then it turned into 40 comments on a tweet where I was just like, this movie is garbage. And the guy who wrote it's a sociopath. And then I got 40 replies.
And then people like to be like, by the way, your opinion's wrong. You're like, no, it's not, because it's my opinion.
Yeah.
And also, I can say it.
And also, I got told that it was a satire and I just didn't understand that it was a satire. So then I went and I read all these articles interviewing the guy that wrote it in 2009. And none of them said it was a satire. It's just straight up him about a relationship.
No, you were spot on.
Yeah. I was like, no, it's a garbage movie. It's horrible.
It sucks.
It's really bad. And I just like started just like sending
like it,
out
but
the
I
article.
Also recognize that it sucks.
It's very. I was
kind of have a thing for Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's normal. That's fine.
He's very charming. The acting in it is good. It's just a garbage story.
Do you remember that weird movie he made called Don John with like Scarlett Johansson and like he's like a guy who's addicted to porn?
Yeah.
It was such a weird movie. I saw it and I was like, that was entertaining, but why was it made?
Yeah, why did this happen?
Yeah.
This is the story you had to tell.
Like, so much sacrifice had to go into making this movie. And like, no one
so much time
me.
And money. And like,
I think that
Julianne
a lot
Moore
of movie,
was in it. Like, why?
Why do we have to drag Julianne here?
Why?
Yeah.
She was great, as always, but why?
Yeah.
How cool would it be to be Julianne Moore?
I mean...
She's a good level of actress.
She's so classy.
She does so much good shit.
Yeah. But she doesn't take herself too seriously either.
No. Like, I love that she's like a legit, like good Meryl kind of like actress, but she's also totally makes fun of herself.
She's a Meryl.
Yeah. She really is a Meryl in the making.
Did you guys read the Kathleen Turner interview?
Yes. I need to read it.
I love her.
I love her so much.
But I'm dying to know who the actress is that she was shit talking.
Me too.
I thought it was Jennifer Aniston.
I could
what did she say about that?
Julia Roberts. Someone who's been doing the same shtick for like 30 years and she's is like a high level, well-paid actress.
Yeah. I think it's probably somebody like that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to, I was like running through stuff in my head and Julia Roberts was like my first choice too. I was like,
I love Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston's an obvious choice because she shit talks the Friends cast later in the interview.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You're like the gossip.
I love gossip.
You put the dots together.
I read this website, Lainey Gossip, like every day. I love it so much.
What's going on? Anything good?
I don't know. There's too much stuff about the Royals right now. I really don't care about them.
Right. Sometimes they get too into the Royals and like reality show contestants and I'm like, no.
I don't care about that.
No.
Yeah.
Give me like people, like the real actors.
Yeah. I do. I hate to say it. But in a weird way, I do kind of miss the paparazzi because we used to get like actual smut.
Oh God, the paparazzi are so gross though.
They're so disgusting.
They're so disgusting. They're so disgusting. They're always the grossest guys.
I think it's worth the trade-off.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously I'm a huge Britney Spears fan and supporter and, you know, I feel like they killed Lady Di. They've done a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
They're garbage people.
They're definitely garbage people.
They've broken a lot
of
humans.
It is kind of weird to have lived in LA because I've been here long enough that I remember like the old school paparazzi and like I lived across from Winston's. I literally, my apartment window looked out to Winston's.
What does that mean?
That was the bar that was like the bar.
Okay.
When you see pictures of Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Britney together in the bar.
Oh my God.
I would literally be like writing late at night and my living room would light up with paparazzi flash bulbs and shit.
Damn.
And like, it's weird. You don't see that really anymore.
My favorite thing about paparazzi these days is that if a celebrity couple gets paparazzied, it's because they called the paparazzi. They wanted them there.
Exactly.
And oftentimes celebrities will be like, "Ugh, the paparazzi." I'm like,
you called them.
This is a symbiotic relationship and you're trying to fake like it's not, but it absolutely is. And everyone knows it.
I was actually my most recent paparazzi. I was getting my hair done in West Hollywood on Fairfax like a couple months ago. And the paparazzi are still in the wild there.
Yeah.
And we saw a paparazzi swarm and my hairdresser is also obsessed with pop culture. So both of us like died and we're like, who is it? And we like went to the window and it was Jamie Foxx.
Was he with,
with Katie. He was alone, but the person, he had his car. What's above a Hummer? It was like a bigger tank than a Hummer.
Like a...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like an Escalade.
Bigger than an, I mean, like a military grade tank.
Jesus.
With all blinged out. And so, like, it was this whole production where first the car came, and then his people came, and everyone started to try to see who it was. And then, yeah, Jamie Foxx walked through the end and got into his tank. I know, but I kind of love it.
You loved it.
I kind of like,
you wanted to get in that tank.
A little bit.
I'm imagining.
And imagine Katie Holmes riding in the tank.
Does she? Do you think he lets her in the tank?
Yeah.
I don't think, how do you get up? She's getting like a step stool to get in there.
You do.
Yeah. Little blinged out little thing.
He has
pops
to like
out.
Lift her into his tank.
Oh, that's hot.
That's hot. Okay, I like it. Okay. My lady.
We're going to gossip some more behind closed doors. We'll be right back. Now we're back on Lady to Lady, the podcast, the musical.
Sometimes musical, the novel.
Mm-hmm. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Lisa.
Hi.
And do you like to give unsolicited advice? Well, I guess this is solicited.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
This
I don't
is
give good advice, but I'd love to give it.
Oh, yeah. We don't ever guarantee that it's good.
Yeah.
It's just advice.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Can't if you
spell
have
advice without vice. So.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's good.
Right? Thank you.
If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Okay. Hi, ladies. I have an interesting lady problem that no one seems to really have an answer for, but hoping you ladies will have a fresh perspective. I'm so happy that you've moved over to Patreon and I'm looking forward to seeing what creative projects come next. Anywho, I'm a lady who decided to pursue carpentry. I'm 26. I got a text. I'm 26, started about 8 months ago, and I love it. It is so fucking empowering to learn how to do home repairs and remodeling, especially because all the trades seem to be a knowledge bank that only men can access. Well, fuck that. I'm on a mission to change it. Here's the problem. I'm having huge problems with my boss. My Collingsworth needs to stop texting me.
I'll text him and tell him to stop. Yes, yeah.
I'm having huge problems with my boss, my Collingsworth.
My Collingsworth is not her boss. Let's separate.
Things have only continued to escalate, and I do not feel respected as a human being, nor does he respect the homeowners. All of the other employees, it was only three in total that have been fired at this point. There's a sentence missing there. Anyway, I'm pretty sure he keeps me on because I'm a woman who doesn't really fight back when he explodes about shit. I'm leaving that toxic environment ASAP and things are at a breaking point. But here's the problem. The idea of joining a, quote, crew, which is literally all going to be dudes, terrifies me. I'm already mansplained enough as it is, but my plan was to leave this job after doing this for a good year. So when I join another company, I know enough of my shit and can prove myself. I'm definitely not at that point yet, but at the point where I need to find another carpentry job. I'm scared and I don't want to give up carpentry because of being scared / dreading the thought of working with a crew of men. But at the same time, it really is an intense environment to prove yourself in. Any advice on how I can keep my mind together and not be filled with dread about the idea of a new workplace? How not to give up on my mission of becoming a successful, able woman in the trades?
This person sounds so cool. Can I be her friend? Can she teach me carpentry?
I know.
And then I'll
she sounds
go
awesome.
And so she won't be the only woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Train your own crew.
She should. Mm-hmm. She should mentor other women who want to get into carpentry.
But she should,
she's
but it sounds like
young.
She might not be there yet.
Yeah.
So this is like a long term goal.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my brother's a contractor, and so I kinda like get this. And it's something that he's learned his whole life, and I wish I had also been pulled aside and been like, this is what caulk does, and like, this mm-hmm. is like how you fix all this shit,
right?
Because it's like, it's crazy now. He's like, he's built a really cool business for himself because he just like knows how to fix anything. And I wish
so cool. It's such a so great cool. skill to have.
It's awesome to be able to just be like, oh yeah, I'll just like build a table right now.
Oh, I
cool.
love that.
Not a big deal.
That's hot.
And I think it is like you have to like, he apprenticed under people and like has like learned something. So it is like a one-to-one relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe look around and see if there's like, there are female carpenters in your area. Like do a search for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or just like.
There might not be that. I mean, the reality might be that she's going to have to join like a mostly male crew. And I think my advice for that is like, just keep doing what you're doing, which is being on top of your shit and mm-hmm. just keep making it be about the work. Like, it sucks. It fucking, there is going
to
be
stuff.
You're
going to have to eat some shit.
Yeah. But just really keep your eye on the prize and just don't let them take away your skills from you. Mm-hmm. Like, just keep being really focused and doing your best, and you're going to keep gaining skills and getting better and better at it.
Yeah.
And then as you get better, you'll have more ability to change the world.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's an apprentice type situation. So it is just like, the goal is for you to eventually have your own crew. And then you're picking up all the stuff that you want to do and what you don't want to do too. Like, learning what you don't like about how things are run is like just as important as learning what you do like. Mm-hmm. You know, so working for a toxic boss, try to be like, all right, these are the things that I for sure know are not going to fly when I'm in this position.
It is really tough being in a position that, like, where you are like the only or one of the only women and being condescended to.
Yeah.
That is a situation that I'm not sure I really know how to tell you, because I've definitely dealt with it, and I don't, it's like, yeah.
It sucks.
It's hard because you're
constant microaggressions.
Yeah.
And you have no one else to look to be like, this sucks. You just need someone to like sympathize with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have some good friends you can go home to.
And I'm just imagining.
Yeah.
I'm imagining a lot of drive homes from work where you're arguing under your breath about all the things you actually wanted to say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like half the comedy shows I've done where I've like left and just been like, go fuck yourself.
But also that's jobs in general.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I feel like when I first started working at an animation studio, I was like, oh wow, there's a lot of dudes here who don't know how to talk to women.
Yeah.
Like, this is infuriating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're in a new situation because they have to filter themselves for the first time, and hopefully they actually are doing that. I don't know. They probably aren't, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of hard to swallow things, especially if you hear a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, I was or feel like you're being left out. I was talking to a girlfriend who was in a similar situation recently where she was like, yeah, she's in kind of a male-dominated workplace. And she was like, yeah, they just like the shit they say about they're a quote unquote supposed to be liberal, and they're like, yeah, the Me Too's bullshit though, right? And she's just like the only girl, and she's like,
I had to listen to a man loudly defend his right to call women bitches while I was like working at my desk. It was like,
and did you say anything? Like, what'd you do?
No, I was paralyzed.
Yeah,
I was just like, and I went home and cried. Like, it was just like terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being in the moment, it's so hard to like know what to do, you know, because
I'm really bad in the moment.
I would love to say that it's like you stand there and you tell them to fuck off. But what I usually end up doing is just keep plugging away and just like kind of letting it
and then later you fire them.
Yes.
No, that's exactly
keep plotting your eventual firing of them.
Guess who Lisa's not gonna hire on her Netflix TV shows? That's guys right. that need to say the word bitch really loud.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's just an eye on the prize mentality that
hey,
I think
but
you kind
they're
of
the ones
have.
Who you know need our comfort and support right now, Brandy. The guys who want to say bitch, okay?
It's really hard for them right now.
It really is hard for them. Yeah, I mean, I struggle to know what to say exactly other than that. It is kind of just like you're probably going to have to put up with some shit that fucking sucks. And
that said,
rely on your support, you know, group outside of it.
It sounds like she is. But like all of that said, also, of course, no, you do have lines and boundaries and things that you absolutely should be standing up for yourself. Like if it's like...
Mm-hmm.
If you're being
don't let anyone touch you.
No, of course not.
For sure not.
I'm not saying that. Yeah.
If you feel like in any way you're being made to feel like degraded or unsafe, obviously do something, you know, of course, get out of there and say something about
and
it.
And hopefully you can find a boss who's less toxic, because that stuff trickles down. Like whoever's on top, their attitude will help influence everyone else.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. I think take your time and like interview with some different bosses and try to find the right fit for you as much as you can. Like you're not gonna find an ideal perfect situation.
Do you like women?
Yeah. No, I mean, you can tell. You want like what you want is like a 50-year-old guy with like a daughter, you know what I mean? That like, which is also problematic in its
own
ways.
Some of those guys are not great.
I know, but it's also like, you know, ideally somebody that sees women as people is what you're looking for.
And I don't know. It seems like most construction, like any kind of thing where you're working with your hands like that, I would imagine hopefully most of the workday is just you doing shit. Like, hopefully you can find a work situation where you're kind of just off to your own devices, just to be, doing the actual.
Well,
carpentry.
And when you join crews and stuff, usually it's a boss coming in and being like, here are the 5 things that you guys are going to do today, and then I'm going to leave and go to another job and like set them up with their day. Like a contractor boss, that's like their job is to kind of like manage then leave.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, it's also more like the guys that you're being to work with in the space or who you're going to be interacting with more than anything.
I mean, this is why I think I a lot of times prefer to work with women, because we do just like women do in a lot of situations have to work harder to get this. same level of respect, isn't it? So they are not, it's like a bunch of people who've kind of like run wearing weights, you know, like they're just faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I mean.
Can you find like a older brother type dude who can kind of help protect you in the workplace? Like that helps sometimes.
Yeah.
That's like a defense move.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you could also like, you're learning a lot right now. Like you could also be advertising for like smaller jobs that you know how to do at this point that you can be picking up on the side to like be like, okay, I know how to do X, Y, and Z.
Be a task rabbit.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So like you are building your own Rolodex of contacts on the side and then you can, that way, like, you know, a lot of those crews, you're not working full time all the time anyway. It's kind of like part-time stuff where it's like, okay, there's a job and now they call me in for this and that.
Yeah. Be a task rabbit and then give out a private business card.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, start to build your own clientele.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, fucking good for you. You're doing a thing that you really want to do.
Yeah,
don't let anyone.
Yeah. Don't let anyone. She has like her long game plan. She's crushing it.
Yeah.
And it's like with comedy, you know, it's the same thing. It just, it takes years and years and you're going to build up, your own network basically of people who you know that you respect and respect you. Mm-hmm. And you'll be out of the woods, I think, before you know it.
You'll be your own boss eventually. Yeah. Like, you'll be your own boss.
You just keep your nose down, keep doing it. And get away from this guy, which you're going to.
Yeah.
I feel like nothing's going to be as bad as this guy. Probably so. Hopefully, the worst is over.
Yeah,
yeah. I bet you there's some like online groups of like female carpenters or contractors and stuff too to like share resources.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Try and find that maybe.
Yeah, even if it's just like a digital thing that you can be like to unload in because like they'll understand, you know, and then maybe jobs can come from that eventually once you've built up some skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and once we need something built, we'll
hit you up.
Yeah. We'll hire your all-female carpentry company.
Yeah.
But we want a tree house.
Oh, my God, please. I'm down for that.
A slime tree house.
Yeah, we got it over ready.
Lisa, where can we find you online?
Yeah. Oh, you can follow my Instagram, Lisa Draws, or go to my website, lisahannawalt.com. Don't follow me on Twitter, whatever.
And go, get her new book, Coyote Dog Girl. You can order it. I think it'll be out soon.
In a couple weeks.
Hell yeah.
And thank you so much. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, check out this super secret, top secret session coming out Friday with Lisa, which we're going to record right now.
Ooh,
bye.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi.
It's Barbara and Brandy.
Hello. This is the portion where we're going to shout you out if you have donated to the Patreon for a dollar or more. So that's pretty much any level.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you want to hear us say your names.
That's what you paid for.
Say your names.
When we are around, we say your name into the mic.
Okay. We'll spend your money on coffee to make more podcasts.
Yeah, that is actually half of what this will go to.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just want to say thank you guys so much for becoming patrons and like helping us, you know, to take this next step in the Lady to Lady journey. And
it's a huge deal for us when you directly support us like this. It makes an actual difference in our lives. So you are you're the fifth ladies in our hearts, and we love you. Fifth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fifth ladies, sixth ladies, whatever number lady you want to be in your life. Barbara's cats are fighting in the background.
My cats are fighting a lot. It's pretty fun. They're like, okay, well.
They're very cute.
It's a very lazy fight.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a morning fight. We were just at Leo Dio's garage sale, estate sale.
Yes.
So you'll hear about that later. It's fine. Yeah. But so our very first patron of all time was RC.
RC, mysterious name.
I'd like to think he's from the Cola family or something.
I know. He's, always anti-Coke. RC, we got Lindsay Osman, Lee Victoria, or Lay Victoria.
Yeah.
But good job on that. I get to say it twice.
Yeah. Redato.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Shmoo.
Hey, Deb.
Alexa Salvato, Shauna Melby,
Tyler Fox,
Ian Shade, Lewis McLean, Robin H.
Yeah, Ivy McNally,
Courtney. I'm guessing Smith, but I'm gonna just say Courtney.
Yeah, I like Courtney. I like just going the first name like your Cher. Just claiming it for yourself.
It's hard with a Courtney because there's a lot of Courtneys and only one Cher, but I still appreciate it.
You'll be the first Courtney I think of from now on.
Exactly.
Ryan Pierce.
Woody Battaglia. Is that how you say his name, right?
Battaglia.
Sorry, Woody.
Yeah.
Jessica Lynn.
Yeah.
Madeline Brumberg.
I like Brumberg. It's a fun last. Brumberg!
It's a strong name.
I'd like to be on a team with you.
We are in a team.
Yeah, we are. Lisa Poirier.
Lindsay Kronk.
Yeah. Popular Music, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What a good way to get a shout out on another podcast.
I know.
I like it.
Carly Scranton, mm-hmm. Lily Nichol.
Go to Paris, France. We will. Thank you so much.
And whoa there.
All caps.
Christine Popowicz.
Uh-huh. Katie Burdett.
Asha Phelps.
Kelsey Miller.
Nicole Ramirez, my roommate.
Oh, hell yeah. Anna Ratliff. Ann Casolo. Aw, hey, Ann.
Kimberly Mayhall. Tara D. Amy Spears. Lorraine Dowdy.
Megan Biggins. Jules Bryan. Laura Watson.
Oh, God. What just happened?
Where are we? We're using Excel, you guys. So
I'm
you know
using
it's serious.
like a knockoff version of Excel. Greg Swain.
Uh-huh.
Carrie Damon. Mm-hmm. Sarah Holtz. Yeah. Grace Hatt. Melissa Brownell.
Mm-hmm. Max Power. Max Power.
Ooh, come on. That's a fake ass name.
Alex Allred.
Sonia Vaz Brun. Mm-hmm. Zena Chu.
Jared Lombardo. And K.R. Middleton.
Thank you so much. That's just the first chunk of shout-outs that we're doing. We didn't want to do them all at once because we want to spread you guys out and give you the attention you deserve. That sounded so creepy.
No. We just want to spread you guys out. Give you the attention you deserve, you fucking creep. You creep. Just so everyone knows, terrifying. It's also 8:52 in the morning.
Very early. Brandy came home early so we could go case the estate sale across the street, and there were just a lot of creeps. That's why it was being creepy.
Yeah, I did buy a Greek fertility statue.
You did, so that's on you.
Everyone's so mad at me.
It's influencing me.
We love you guys so much. If you want to hear your name shouted out as well, and you're not on this list already, patreon.com/ladytolady. We really appreciate it. Every dollar makes it so we can make more content for you guys and makes it so we can make a living as artists. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, we're artists.
We're artists. Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.